Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just quieting down, baby.
Per capita export value.
Libraries. Minister, are you embarrassed by your behavior today?
There's a lot of bleeding hearts around.
Do you have the fortitude or the gonads to stand up and come across here and say that to me, you son of a bitch?
Just watch me.
He certainly went too far, Mr. Speaker, when I saw him stick his tongue out.
Contemptuous disregard.
More than a slab of bacon talking here.
The disappointment you also feel is my responsibility.
I lost my temper.
What is the nature of your thoughts?
The word was F-A-R-T.
Hello, welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Reese. I'm with me is Jesse.
Hello.
We made somebody angry.
We did?
Someone very angry.
Okay. Yeah. Are you talking about that review again?
No. Somebody was commenting on one of our posts and ranting at us. They were really offended by our appearance on Global News.
Are you serious? Well, I didn't see this. Where was this?
I tried to protect you from it because I know your congratulations to the premier. They were like, "Why would you congratulate him on COVID numbers? This is disgusting." And then you said, about him celebrating in a small room with his friends, and they were really outraged. You'd suggest that I don't think they understood what jokes are.
You got to send this to me, Reese. This sounds amazing.
They would like literally like write in essays, and I just blocked them because I was just like, "This is, I don't like this. This is weird." But anyway, they were very, very offended by your jokes about the premier living by his own standards for everybody else, and yeah.
I wish I had seen that. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Oh well. Deleting media to keep to keep my virgin eyes from harm. Is that I can't. Well, think. My brain is in a fog
sure,
right now. I can't.
I'm pretty sure it's the same.
I've had a lot of ginger beer with supper, and I'm just the sugar's really starting to hit my brain right now. And I'm just like, oh, okay, there's a word.
I'm pretty sure it's the same person who did leave that really bad review because they used the term hacks twice. They called us hacks.
Oh, okay.
I'm not people use that term anymore, so I think it was. But they'd be really happy to know that we turned that review into a T-shirt. So if you want to make that person more angry, please go and buy one of those T-shirts.
I think this is a horrible idea, honestly. You're just encouraging bad reviews.
So yeah, so hopefully we'll sell some of those t-shirts and make those angry people twice as angry.
It's honestly, it's okay. It's like some would say it's a brilliant idea to turn our bad reviews into merchandise that people can then buy. But honestly, it sounds like you're encouraging people to leave bad reviews for us. But like, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah, but but if we turn our good reviews into t-shirts, that just makes us look really smug. So
honestly, the fact that I pissed someone off on CTV News by
Global News. Now you pissed off Global News. Now
It makes me really happy.
The non-CBC outlet.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it makes me happy that I pissed someone off talking about what a shit job our premier's doing.
I don't think they read jokes as jokes. I think they thought you were expressing an opinion that you hoped him and his loved ones caught COVID.
I do.
See, another joke. There we go. They're going to be so angry if they listen to this. Anyway, anything exciting happening in your life? Anything going on Jesse Island?
Jesse Island. It was nice, and I went for a nice walk today in the woods. Thinking about moving to Montreal.
Cool.
I don't know.
Any reason in particular?
Nova Scotia is. I've been here enough. that's all I really have to say about that.
Do you know what I did?
What'd you do?
I needed to do some real landscaping, and I rented a skid steer. And
what is this? That just sounds dirty.
It's like a mini digger, like a big machine, diesel powered machine with like a bucket that you lift. And
did you put this on our Instagram? I want to see this.
I didn't. It was a very personal experience.
Okay.
No, it was great. I moved like 18.
Honey, where are you going with that mini digger? None of your fucking business. This is a very personal experience with me and the digger. Leave us alone. Why can't I have time alone with the digger?
I spent all day just moving over 18 tons. It was great.
Okay,
and I recommend it if you ever just got a quiet day and you're looking for something to do, just rent some heavy machinery and drive it around. It's great.
not for any particular purpose, just to drive it around. All right, yeah. Sure. Well,
trust me, once you've got it, you find things to do with it. Kind of works itself. So,
Reese, why did you move the car onto the lawn? Don't worry, I'll move it back. Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, you're ready to learn about some stuff and some
things. No.
Fine.
I'm stuck in this podcast of like.
That's a really nice way of describing our show. Encouraging the listeners to be enthusiastic and stay with us.
You know how I feel about politics. It has not changed. And now we have a successful podcast that pays us. And so I'm not going anywhere. But I'm like, Jesse, are you ready to learn about Canadian politics? And my answer every fucking time is going to be no. No, I'm not ready to learn about Canadian politics. No. But I'm gonna, aren't I? The amount of shit I've learned over the past 2 years is astounding. I have so much knowledge about this fucking country's political system and history that blows my mind. I never would have learned this stuff. I guess it's good for a cocktail party or something. Anyway, what are you going to teach me?
Pretty boring cocktail party.
Are you just calling the content of our own show that you curate boring?
Well, not only in a party context.
I guess it is in our title.
So. Yeah. I don't know. These other stuff you could be talking about at parties than
Canadian parties are boring. That's what we're changing our title to.
In 1999, and may or may not have won $10,000. Did you know he may or may not have won?
No. All right. What do you? I hope this is a good one. Just give me this something. I'm going to take it back. You have wowed me and entertained me more times than I care to admit. So. I'm just cranky. I've had too much sugar.
Is that bad too much news sun. I gave you about the angry person?
Exactly. That's probably what it is. Yeah. You more often than not, you do give me some really juicy tidbits of gray matter ticklings.
Great.
Yep. That's
perfect. Well, this one's kind of a more mind blowing than anything else.
All right.
So have you ever heard of Project Surname?
No.
Really? You haven't heard of Project Surname?
You know I haven't.
Well, good. I didn't either until I researched it. So I just got a week's head start on you. So this story is kind of anchored around an individual and something he did. So his name was Abraham Abe Ockpick.
Nope. Mm-mm. You can't just blow by a name like that.
Is an Inuit name. Abraham Abe Ockpick.
That's okay. Amazing.
P-I-K. It's a great name.
Abraham Abe. So Abe.
No, I think that's just like, you know, when they put like commas in the middle for a nickname.
Oh!
Everyone called him Abe.
Oh, I see. Okay, I gotcha. Okay.
They didn't like call him David Dave.
Right. Okay, I gotcha.
David Dave. It was Abraham Abe in inverted commas, Ockpick. Abe was born in 1929 in the Mackenzie Delta area of the Northwest Territories. And he was brought up in the Anglican Church, but was also raised traditionally. So as a kid, he hunted and trapped and traveled by dog sled and built igloot to sleep in. So he kind of had a traditional Inuit upbringing. But when he was eight years old in 1937, he was sent to a residential school. And he didn't have a good time, as you can imagine. Like a lot of people didn't.
Most of them didn't, yeah.
Yeah, and despite struggling, because he didn't know English, he spoke his kind of traditional language. He struggled, but he was a gifted student and caught up pretty quickly and became a reader. An avid reader, and he learned English and skipped grades 2, 4, and 5.
Wow.
Smart kid.
That is smart.
But in 1941, his dad removed him from school so he could assist his family with trapping instead.
Oh, okay.
Very, very genius, but we just need more trappers. So he made a living as a hunter then. And while he was running his dog team and bringing home caribou meat for the winter, he injured his leg and left him permanently disabled. But despite that, he just carried on hunting and trapping. He just found a way to get by. So already young kid had done way more than we did by the time we were that age.
How old was he?
1942. So he would have been 13, and he'd already done all that by the time he was 13.
What were you doing at the age of 13?
We've already been over this.
I just wanted to bring it up again.
Over and over again. I completed it as the Allies and the Soviet Union. So he then got some work. You know, when we did our Cold War episodes, we talked about like the nuclear missiles coming over, or the bombers coming over Canada to bomb America. Okay. Can you remember that? If Russia was going to bomb America, they'd fly over Canada, over the Arctic Circle.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
So the distant early warning line, or the dew line, was like a series of radar stations. So that created some opportunities for people in the far north to have some work. So he worked on, his family or his community were involved in the construction, but it also had like really long lasting damaging effects on the way they lived their lives. They made a big mess. And the government didn't finish cleaning it up until like 2014, even though they started all this in the 50s. So Abe in 1945 was diagnosed with tuberculosis.
Fuck.
And he spent 3 years in hospital.
Jesus.
And then he caught tuberculosis again in 1957.
Oh my God.
And then he was in hospital for another 18 months. So he's had a pretty rough time.
Like living in the hospital for 3 years and then 18 months?
3 years and then another 18 months in the hospital, yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So, but what the one thing that, because he was, he'd been to school and he'd been incredibly gifted. And even though he'd had to kind of go leave school to do really practical stuff, He'd learned English, but he still had a mastery of traditional language, his traditional language, and so he found himself more and more being a translator. So he was a translator for the Diefenbaker government, and also started to translate books from English to Inuktitut, I think I'm pronouncing that right, just so that they could actually have books to read in the Inuit language.
He was one of
the
cool.
So he was one of the first people to do that because he was, you know, pretty smart and could both speak both languages. And then he started to organize and administer different government programs because they clocked on that he was really clever and he obviously had local knowledge and could speak English really well. And that's when Project Surname happened. And Project Surname is mind-blowing because before the 1960s, Inuit people didn't have surnames.
Really?
Because they didn't need them.
I guess.
The Canadian government, though, wanted...
So, like, they just... Yeah, like, what would they do? I guess, yeah.
Like, Dave, two people... Jill, Peter, Barry,
no, you don't, you just...
George, Jeff.
These are the Steve. Names you're thinking the Inuit Susan. Gave to one another.
Yeah.
Hundreds of years ago. Dave, Susie, Jill...
Hundreds of years ago, this was like, yeah, but the thing was, is that if you live in a small community and you only are aware of like maybe 100 people, you don't need surnames.
No, but if you're having kids, if you're pregnant and you just had kids or whatever, you want to name your kids, you have to know every single person's name in that community so that you don't double up.
They probably did. Or if they did, they go, that's tall Dave and that's short Dave.
All right.
It was actually a lot more complex and actually quite an interesting way that that they named people rather than – it wasn't like Tall Dave and Short Dave. It was – the names were given by the elders and reflected their culture, environment, animals, family, and spirits. So it meant that everyone had these really unique, beautiful names based on a lot of information about them rather than just, you know, picking whatever was the most popular name of the day. Or your favorite celebrities, baby. do you know how the federal government didn't like that they didn't have last names? So they came up with their own system. And it seems very bizarre, system that they came up with. So to identify Inuit populations, they had to wear a disc around their neck. And the disc numbers carried information about the identity and residence of each individual person.
Hold on, why? What? So they had to, or else what? What if you didn't wear this fucking thing? This is weird, man.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They had their own, so like the elders would choose the names for the kids based on, they had no need for family names. The communities were pretty tight, but then, you know, European customs flowed in from the kind of Canadian government, the federal government, and with things going on. So they didn't like that because they like keeping records and a lot of it is like an oral tradition. It doesn't fit together. So they decided they needed a numbered disc that they had to wear around their neck to identify them.
I can't. So, hold on.
I told you this one was mind-blowing.
So, these are government... This is the government enforcing this on these people up north.
Yes.
The Inuit up north.
So, you don't have a last name, so here's your disc.
But they're... How are they enforcing this?
They just give them to them. They go, who are you? And they write their name down. And then... So, the discs were an inch across... Burgundy.
But hold on. Yeah, just hold on. Wait, sorry. So the government's like, here's your discs.
What's this? This is to identify who you are. I know who I am. All these people know who I am. Yeah, well, I don't. Well, my name is so-and-so. Well, I don't. You. Right, so here's your label. Wear this whenever we show up, or just wear it all the time. And if you don't wear it, we'll ask you to wear it again. Like what?
I imagine they probably took it off to go in the shower, but you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
But like, hold on. When the government, you know, guys, whoever gave this, whenever they left, they're just all these, the Inuit people just hanging around with these discs around their neck, looking at each other like, are we still wearing these fucking things? Or do you guys want to take these off
now? No one's here now. Can we just take our discs off?
Like, seriously?
I know. It's so, like I said, it's bizarre.
It's crazy.
So it was a burgundy disc that was an inch across, made of pressed fiber or leather. It had a hole to be threaded with a caribou thong and sewn into a parka for safekeeping, or they could be worn around the neck. They were stamped with the Eskimo Identification Canada around the edge. And then the number was broken down into several parts. E for Inuit living in East. E for Inuit living east of Goja Haven, and W for those in the west. This would be followed by a one or two digit number that indicated the area the person was from. The last set of numbers would identify the individual. They were used between 1941 and 1978. So a young woman would ignore her Inuit name, and if she'd been baptized by the church as Annie, her disc would say Annie E7121 or something like that. She's basically just kind of
like a droid from Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Just labeling people with a code that would go, oh, this is Annie from this sector east of this place.
Jesus Christ.
So it's bizarre, isn't it?
I mean, a thought popped into my head, which is if you're the government of Canada and you need a census. And from what I understand, a census is important. I don't know why a census is important. I don't, but I've been told it is.
You don't know where your stuff is.
I guess. But if you want to know how many people, you know, what age, what their names are, their blah, 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 blah. And you've got a large grouping of people with only first names, you know, and no real ties to, you know, like I can understand the government's need to kind of like figure out how to file that group of people amongst all the rest of the people in Canada so that they could just keep track of everybody. So like this was a really piss poor way of doing that, but it was there's got to be a better way.
Yeah. And in the mid 60s, they realized that this is probably like not giving people disc with numbers on probably wasn't the best way of. So that's where Project Surname came from. They decided that they should let Inuit people choose a surname, essentially, and then be registered with that surname. So Abe was selected, or Okpik was selected to lead the project.
So that just, why didn't they think of this in the first fucking place?
They could have just done that rather than go to all this effort of going, let's create a disc, and this is the really complicated code system. They could have gone, you just pick one.
And then the Inuit could have completely ignored them after they left again.
Yeah, go on.
Like, go ahead, yeah.
You could literally just forget your surname. And right. Worry about it.
Nobody's going to use it. Nobody. You don't have to use it. Nobody cares except for the person who gave it to you and then left, so they could have it for their files. Like just.
So from 1970 to 1971, Abe or Okpik traveled to various communities in the Northwest Territories in Nunavut and Nunavik in northern Quebec, and because he spoke a lot of Inuktitut dialects. And English, he was able to communicate with loads of different Arctic communities. So he would go around, explain to them why they'd set up Project Surname, and then ask them what their surname was of choice. And he worked with a linguist to kind of standardize the spellings. And some Inuit people weren't happy with his efforts, claiming that he only asked men, or mainly only asked men, and then allowed relatives to choose surnames for families who weren't there during the naming process.
He what? Say that again?
So he mainly asked men to choose surnames. So men were choosing surnames for the whole family and women. And also family members would choose a name for somebody who wasn't present if he was there picking their names. So you can imagine the hijinks.
Oh, that's funny.
Just making that's it funny, up. Right? What does their last name want to be? I don't know. Turd?
Turd. Yeah.
And you come back to the door, everybody's laughing. Whoa, what are you laughing at? What happened? Never guess what happened today.
Like, and passport. Thus the long lineage of Mr. and Mrs. Turds were born.
Exactly.
The proud turd family.
No, exactly. So even though it was kind of like it was criticized to a certain extent, no one has really tried to change or remove their surname since. So
even the turds? Just,
exactly.
We're very proud of our heritage.
But I think it's amazing though that he completed it in 1971. So from the mid-60s, from the late 60s to like 1971, he traveled all across the North helping people like pick their surnames so they didn't have to have those stupid discs anymore.
Well, okay. I'm sure they honestly, like, I don't think they had to have the discs. Honestly, like, seriously, I don't think anyone was checking. Okay. No one was like enforcing this.
They just had them in a cupboard. There was a big pile of discs.
Honest, probably. Seriously. What would you have done? You know, they're not sticking around. The people who gave you these things.
I would have sold it on eBay.
So at first, you've got this, you know, community of Inuit. And then like a guy in a fucking helicopter shows up and hands you a bunch of discs and say, this disc is who you are. And they're like, okay. And then the guy gets in his helicopter and goes away. And then you just take your discs and throw them in the fucking lake. And then a few years later, someone that you may or may not know or whatever speaks your language comes in and is like, you're getting another name. Okay. And then they just give you a name. Turd. You're now Mr. Turd. Hokey dokey. And off he goes. Nothing's changed. Like, just, you know, they could do whatever, they could still do whatever the fuck they were doing before. It's not, you know, it wasn't up to the, anyway.
So after Bodrick's surname, Ockpick became like got involved in schools and represented his community in politics. He like worked really hard to simplify the writing system for Inuktitut writing system down to like 45 letters, and a lot of the system he came up with is still used today. And also he did a lot for kind of translation, promoting the language and the culture. So he became like a real advocate in later life for it after he completed it. But wow. Even today, there are still like cultural references to the discs in Inuit communities. So there is the Inuk singer Susan, I'm going to butcher this last name, Aglukark, recorded a song called E186 in 2000, which is a reference to the naming conventions. And also,
I was going to say, because otherwise that's just a banging song title.
Exactly. And also you see him in paintings sometimes. And there was a Eidlut who recorded a CD in called E5770, My Mother's Name, in 2005. And some people keep them for sentimental value, like their personal artifacts or like they were like their grandparents, those kind of things. Hmm. So it's not like massively negative in how they see it. It just seems like a very, I suppose it doesn't feel like you're treating someone like an equal if you label them in that way.
Yeah, but I just don't see how they would care one way or another.
I know, yeah. It's kind of, oh, yeah, cool. This is my desk. Great, thanks. Bye.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Sure, it's insulting if they cared, you know? Like,
I don't, yeah, no one lost any sleep over him. Sure.
Right, yeah.
If you could choose a last name, what last name would you choose?
Other than my actual last name?
Yeah, if you could improve it.
Bartholomew.
Jesse Bartholomew.
Just has a nice ring to it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I just wouldn't have one. It'd just be Reese.
Oh, there you go. Kind of like Madonna.
Or Prince.
Or Prince. Right?
Exactly. Or no, just no name at all. Just a symbol.
Right. Or like a noise. The
podcaster formerly known as Reese.
Just like a mouth noise. Like a salivating, like.
No. I want to be referred to as just an eye roll. It's not even a house.
I mean, you are just just whenever your back is turned, that's how we refer to you.
That would be better, I think. So yeah, that was Project Surname.
That was fascinating. I wouldn't call it entertaining, but it was certainly fascinating.
Why is it entertaining? You learned. Why is learning not entertaining?
Because it's not always entertaining, Reese. That's not how learning goes.
What? It is when I
learn about advanced calculus. It's not going to be entertaining, I'll tell you that much.
I bet you advanced calculus. I bet I can make calculus entertaining.
All right. I'll take that challenge. What do you lose if you don't?
What do I lose?
Yeah. This is a bet.
My surname.
No, you want that to happen. You want to be just referred to as Reese. The only one and only.
The calculus was originally called infinitesimal calculus, or the calculus of infinitesimals. Did you know that?
You're making that up on the spot.
I'm not.
You're Googling it on the spot?
Yep. And it was developed
No, real-time Googling. No, this is not the show. The show is not... No.
Check this out.
No, you take your time with this and you come back to me. And if you...
I'm going to do it now. I'm going to prove to you.
No, if you lose, you have to stuff 10 Timbits in your mouth at the same time.
I've already done it. I can do it now.
No, you've done 4. You could barely do 4. You're going to do 10.
Yeah. I was just literally just... Google Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz. And check out his wig. That's all you need to know.
You want me to Google that name that no one on earth can spell?
I can spell it for you. Gottfried.
R-I-E-D.
W-I-L-H-E-L-M.
H-E-L-M. Gottfried Wilhelm.
Leibniz. L-E-I. Does it come up?
Welcome to the new podcast, Googling Shit.
Check out his wig. That's entertaining.
Check out his wig.
Go on Wikipedia.
Hot fucking damn, Gottfried. That is one hell of a fucking wig, boy.
He looks like Brian May. See?
I don't know who Brian May is, but that is one hell of a wig.
Guitarist from Queen.
That is a fancy, fancy fucking man.
Told you calculus could be interesting. Now you've got to eat 10 Timbits. It took me 2 seconds of Googling to find something funny about calculus. Gottfried's here. That's all you need to know. No, I tell you what, what I prefer is you've got to have his haircut.
Fuck no. That's never, nope. I mean, get me the wig and I'll put it on for a photo shoot. We'll do that. It'll be fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of looks like a chocolate fountain's coming out of the top of his head and pouring down his shoulders.
That's what he asked for when he had the wig made. I would like a chocolate fountain pouring out of my head down onto my shoulders. Why are you talking like that, sir? I don't know.
So I've got a call to action.
You have a call to action. You actually have a call to action this time ready to go?
You're not going
to
like it.
Oh, fuck. All right. Well.
Instagram. Yeah. Told you wouldn't like it, but it
okay. Okay, give them a reason why. Why should they join our Instagram?
It's full of fun.
It is full of fun. Reese puts an awful lot of effort into the posts that nobody reads.
They do. One of our posts recently had at least 3 likes, maybe 4. I haven't checked.
You could be the 5th.
Yeah.
Oh boy! Happy day. Please join our Instagram and make Reese shut up about this. Just go to, you're gonna like it. It's fun. If you enjoy scrolling randomly through your TikTok feed and stopping perhaps for 1 to 3 seconds on a post and maybe taking your thumb and tapping the screen for a heart, you should add us to that list.
It's got me running with a chainsaw. That is true.
That is on there.
Offensive global news appearance.
More.
It's got our re-edited version of the Get Back Out the Nova Scotia public access thing.
That was fun. People asked if that was real.
Me comparing Dr. Strang and the Premier to Tim and Eric, famous comedians.
That was fun.
Jason Kenney struggling to get a refueling thing the gas station out of his truck and is stuck.
That was very funny. We got more Instagram people last time was you just spending a good 20 to 23 minutes talking about what was on our, like describing our Instagram post.
Yeah. Happy Family Day, where I replaced Stephen Harper's family with just Stephen Harper's face on their bodies.
Okay. I think we're done. That's enough of a tease. Have we sold you yet, dear listener? Are you on your phone right now?
So much.
Do you think
so
you have the energy in you to just kind of swipe over to Instagram and type our name in? That's an awful lot of time wasted, I realize. But or you could just, you know, click the show notes. I'm sure Reese has a little thing and you can just click it and hit follow. That's
you know, I just found
10 seconds out of your time.
Last post I'm going to describe from Wafakak is the gods of Wafakak.
Oh, yeah.
Angry Bill, who controls the trees. Jennifer Susan, goddess of water. And Stephen Beanpole, who leases the sky. See, go check that out.
I love Wafakak. All right. Well, that's your call to action today, folks. An oldie but a goodie. Please join our Instagram. It makes Reese cry when you don't. Every day that you don't, he cries. He's just constantly tearing.
Why can't we be influencers?
Because no one fucking listens to us.
Gottfried does. He loves our show.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.